Welcome back, everyone, and congratulations to you, Kathy. Welcome as a full member of the board. Stephanie, are
Thank
we
you.
expecting Amos tonight?
No, Amos is out of the state. I'm not, he said he'll try if he has good reception, but I didn't expect him.
Okay, no problem. Well, we will just get started. I'll start reading the Zoom meeting procedures. This meeting will be conducted remotely over Zoom. Attendance by planning board members may be in person or remote. Excuse me. Attendance by planning board members may be remote. And attendance via remote shall count toward quorum. This meeting is being broadcast live and recorded on ECAT. To use Zoom, you will need to use the link on the agenda or download the Zoom application and create an account. You'll need the webinar ID number to join by phone only. While conducting Zoom meetings, we will endeavor to keep meeting operations as close to standard procedures as possible. However, use of the remote platform will necessitate some additional meeting protocols. While the board members or commissioners and applicants will be on video and audio, public participants invited to speak will also be on video or audio and will be muted and with no video feed from them unless otherwise allowed. Public lines will be muted throughout the meeting to allow the board to conduct business and to eliminate background noise. All votes will be by roll call. For public hearings, during the public testimony portion of the meeting, members of the public joining via Zoom may be recognized by using the raise hand function, which is found under participants from Zoom, or make a request with the Q&A function. If you're joining by phone only, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. As in any public hearing, testimony offered must be related to the hearing being held, and the chair reserves the right to end the testimony of anyone at any time or who goes long or attempts to talk about things that are off topic. When all business indicated on the agenda has been completed, the members will vote to adjourn the meeting, signaling the end of the meeting and the termination of the ECAT recording. So welcome all to the April 16th meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board. So that we have a quorum, I will now ask everyone to mark their attendance. Kid?
Ed, present.
Wolf?
Present.
Zygmunt?
Present.
And Stetson is present as well. So the first up is a continued public hearing, and this is going to be continued to April 29th. This is the definitive subdivision at 149 Lincoln Street, Carter Estates.
So motion to move the 149 Lincoln Street.
Do I have a second?
Second, Zygmunt.
Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none. Wolf.
Yes.
Kid.
Aye.
Zygmunt.
Aye.
And Stetson's an aye as well, so that will be continued. Next up is a public hearing for 159 Washington Street. This is a special permit, duplex home, Fitzsimmons Development Corporation. Mickey, do you have the notice to read in?
I do. Let me put it right up. In accordance with provisions of Chapter 40A, Section 9, and Section 11, MGL, the Easton Planning and Zoning Board will hold a public hearing on April 16th, 2024 at 6:30 p.m. to be held remotely on the application received from the Fitzsimmons Development Corp for a special permit duplex dwelling under Easton Town Code Chapter 235, Zoning 235-56, special permits to allow the creation of a duplex dwelling located at 159 Washington Street, Easton, Mass., Assessor's Map, Lot 89U. This meeting will be conducted remotely via Zoom. The virtual meeting link will be contained within the posted agendas at least 48 hours in advance of this meeting, and a copy of the application and plan may be viewed on the town website.
Thank you, Mickey. And with us this evening is Christy Fitzsimmons. If you could just state your name for the record and your address, sir.
Yeah, my name is Christy Fitzsimmons. I live at 28 Blackbrook Road in Easton.
Thank you. And will anyone else be joining you to discuss the project?
No, just me.
Okay. Stephanie, do you want to show the plans on the screen?
I think Mr. Fitzsimons is prepared to show the plans.
Perfect.
Well, I have a big set of plans, but I don't know if you're going to be able to see them on the small screen right here.
I know. Oh, I sent Suzanne them. Did not instruct you that you were supposed. Okay, I can share my screen then.
Yeah. That would be great. And while she's doing that, Mr. Fitzsimons, maybe you could, kind of walk us through the project. I think we have some familiarity with it. We have seen this project when you were going through the ZBA process, but, the floor is yours.
Okay. I bought this property about 6 or 7 years ago. It was a single family house on Washington Street. Up near Roach, on the way up to Roach Brothers. I got a building permit from the town to do an addition on the rear, to convert it from a single family to a two family house. The original plan was to keep the original foundation of the front of the building and the first floor walls. So when we started to do the demolition on it, we tore the front porch off, things that were hidden from us, we couldn't really see them. When we took off the front porch, realized that the foundations were completely crumbling, and then all the wall sills were rotted out. We went down to the building department, spoke to the building inspector, and we were told we couldn't tear the whole thing down because we had to wait for historical review of it. We had a historical review, and they determined there was no historical significance. And then the next step was to go through zoning. It was approved by zoning. And the next step is this, the planning board to get approval. It's the same set of plans that we had originally submitted to the building inspector for a permit. And he issued the permit. The only thing that changes on the plan now is instead of the old rubble stone foundation being kept, we're going to put a new foundation in that area. So it's the exact same building that was previously approved, except for instead of the old foundation being left, it's a new foundation we're putting in, full new foundation instead of just a half of a foundation.
Okay. Stephanie, any comments?
Generally, I just want to explain one of the steps, and I think I explained this at the last meeting, the reason that Mr. Fitzsimons needed a special permit from the Board of Appeals is the site is undersized. It's not a complying lot. And if he had completed the demolition, it would have been considered as kind of a new lot, non-conforming, and he would have needed a variance. But the zoning allows prior to demolition or full demolition, an applicant to come and seek a special permit to demolish and then reconstruct larger with a special permit from the Board of Appeals. So I need to scroll back. My only comment, I think this meets all the requirements and the standards for a special permit for a duplex. My only comment was that I would like to see the plans show that they have sufficient parking for four vehicles in the proposed parking area. So if I can, I'm just going to go back sharing my screen. So the parking area is right here. Okay, it's actually, I'm sorry. I am just now seeing that there's a driveway on this side as well. So are you seeing my screen?
We're not.
There we go. Sorry about that.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. So I'm sorry, when I was reviewing the plans, I only saw the northerly driveway. Now I'm seeing that there is one proposed on the south as well. So I think that concern is addressed.
Okay. Mr. Fitzsimons?
Yeah, I right as Stephanie was saying that, I was going to say there's two curb cuts there already. There was two driveways on the property, and they were just going to stay the same as they were originally. There's one on the left and one on the right, and then there's a one car garage for each unit as well. So there is two driveways, one on each side.
Okay. Any questions from any members of the board? What about, I'll open it up now to members of the public, as this is a public hearing. If anyone in the public has any questions or comments, now's the time to raise your hand.
I don't see any hands raised.
Okay. Well, I have no questions. Mr. Fitzsimons, I mean, seeing no questions from the public, would you like us to...
There is some. I'm sorry, a hand was
raised.
Sorry.
Okay.
And let's... If the person could identify themselves, because they're only showing up as call-in user one.
Yeah, and please, call-in user one, please state your name and also your address, and then the floor is yours.
Hi, I'm April Raleigh. I live at 155 Washington Street, right next to the proposed redo of the house. Mm-hmm. Hello, Mr. Fitzsimons.
Hello.
I just have one concern, because of the demo that has begun already, and I assume the construction, there has been more water funneling into my yard than there was before. I think just because of the ground changing. So I didn't know if there's going to be some drainage to prevent the additional water that's coming into the yard. That's all.
Mr. Fitzsimons, any comments on drainage issues?
Well, right now, none of the yard has been graded at all. We stopped the work on the demolition. The guy who has the excavators up there has stopped all work until we got all the approvals in place. So right now, they're on the front of it, where the northern driveway goes out onto Route 138 there. That's all elevated, where it will eventually be leveled off. That whole area will be leveled off. Right now, it's elevated. He made a berm to drive the trucks in and out to get all the old debris out of there. But we hadn't anticipated.
Yeah, and I understand that. Yeah. I just want to make sure there's some kind of problem. So I don't have a lake in my yard, you know, every time it rains. That's all.
None of the grades have been set yet, as far as, because there's a whole new septic system going in the back. The elevation, there's dirt there at the front now that probably has moved drain water into my next door neighbor's yard, but that's because we elevated that to get trucks in and out. But on the proposal and on the plan, all that drops down, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not trying to complain or create any problems. I just didn't want a lake over there all the time.
I totally understand.
Okay, Chair, if I may.
Thank you. Yes,
Chair,
please.
If I may.
Yes.
Just a follow-up question to that, Mr. Fitzsimmons. So how long will it take to resolve that temporary berm and kind of grade everything out? Are we talking a few months or?
Well, no. If we get permission to take out that foundation at the front there, I know there's a 20-day wait period after a decision is made. I think there was on the Zoning Board of Appeals, there was a 20-day wait before we can do anything. I didn't know how long the wait, if you guys approve this tonight, I didn't know how long the wait would be, but we'd hope to start work almost immediately. So as soon as we start work back there again, we'll be leveling everything out.
So, Bob, can I answer that?
Please.
The Board of Appeals He needs to wait the 20-day appeal period because it's a special permit to demolish and then reconstruct. The planning board, once that waiting period is up, you do have the 20-day appeal period because it's a special permit. However, that wouldn't prevent you from doing your site work. You could move forward with the removal of the foundation and just grading things out.
Okay. Well, we'd be ready to start almost immediately. As soon as that other 20-day period is up, we can start. And I think that started a week ago, or this day last week was the previous meeting. So
right, yeah,
probably like 16 days or 15 days into it right now. So if we get approval tonight, within 2 weeks we can get that all taken care of.
Yeah, I mean that's positive, and I don't think that anything we do here should necessarily hold up. You know, if there's a temporary solution that you guys can put into place, I mean, I don't think it's fair for your neighbor to have to live in, you know, swampland that she wasn't subjected to previously. You know, just because you're applying for permits. That's not really a land use issue for us to be deciding, but just as a good neighbor, I think raised.
Be courteous to my neighbors, of course. Yeah. I'd take care of that as soon as I'm legally allowed to. So if I can do it tomorrow, I would, but I know I have to wait for that. Sorry, I have to wait for that 20 days to be up. So in 2 weeks, I'm sure we could have that whole thing cleared and that issue will be resolved.
All right. Well, I don't have any more comments. Does anyone else from the board and or anyone from the public? Mr. Fitzsimons, would you like us to close the public hearing?
Yes, I would, please. Thank you.
Great. I will accept a motion.
Motion to close the public hearing.
Do I have a second?
Good second.
Second segment.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none. Kid?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
Zygmunt?
Aye.
And Stetson's an aye as well. Do I have a motion on the project itself or any further comments or questions?
I'll make a motion to approve the special permit for, what was the address, 159 Washington Street?
Second, yeah. Wolf.
Great. Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none on the motion to approve. Kid?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
Zygmunt?
Aye.
And Stetson's an aye as well. Good luck, Mr. Fitzsimons. And, you know, hopefully you can address the water issue for your neighbor as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, the next one up is on Old Forge Commons. This is an architectural review. I'm gonna jump off. I've been recusing myself on all of these matters. Mickey, you are taking over as board chair.
All right. This is my first time as board chair, so. Do we have anybody here from
Bill Humphrey is here. Bill, are you there? You are.
I'm here. Sorry, guys. I have my grandkids here, and they're all over me. So that's a good thing.
Well, thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Do you have the plans to show to us for the
architect? I will, yeah, I have to. So I'm not very good at this, as Stephanie knows. So I have to bring let me share the plans. Hold on 1 second. I have to shrink my screen here. Hold on. Bear with me. Hold on. I got to close this. All right. There we go. So, Suzanne, what plans, which ones, which three lots do I have coming up tonight? I know it's not three. I did
five,
that one.
5, 6, 18.
5, 6, 18. All right. So hold on. 5, 6, 18. So let's do six first. Hold on. Oops. Hold on. I got to shrink that down. Rats. I got to do the share screen and open that up. I'm sorry. Hold on one second. Share screen. And let me open that up again. All right. All right. So this is lot six that I'm going to show. So I'm going to get to the, unfortunately, this is all the engineering stuff for us. So this is the front elevation. And so that's the front elevation here. And again, this is, you see the metal roof here, carriage house doors, board and bed above, farmer's porch above. And I'm going to go through this quickly because they were all pretty much all the houses are the same in there. You can see that's a real elevation. They have 12-foot sliders with atrium over it. This is a side elevation. Floor pans, it doesn't matter, but it's more the elevations. That's why we should be here. So this is lot six. Do you guys have any questions on this guy here?
Mickey, if Mr. Humphrey could just talk about the materials.
Yep. So all the materials in the subdivision are all of the houses are all the same. So everything is a vinyl product. Roof shingles are all architectural. All the roof shingles in there are black in the subdivision. That's my choice. So all the porches are done in PVC. So the garage doors here, this one is a carriage house. This is called a board and bat siding here, as you can see. And all the windows are 4/1. In other words, the upper grills have four crosses. Lower has single, they call it. And all the houses in there, either on the garage side or the porch side, have a metal roof. So that's a metal seamed roof that you see there. And all the houses have farmer's porches. So we're trying to create a farmhouse type look. And that's what we're doing in here. It resembles the last eight houses that I've built in there. And that's about all I can say. It's... On the side, let's go to the side elevations. But on the side elevations, it's just regular vinyl product. It's a 4-inch, resembles a clapboard. This is a white window. Some of the houses we go with black, this one's white. So again, this is a white vinyl siding here. And it's on white vinyl on the side. I should say, not white vinyl, I should say 4-inch vinyl on the side, white windows. But it's more on the front elevation as we go back where it takes on the farmhouse view. Mm-hmm. So we try to create, you can see here, with we have the oversized rake boards. We have a sort of a roof, shingled roof over the garage doors, and then the carriage house style doors and the farmer's porch and the metal roof. That's what we're trying to create here. So this is a smaller house in there. This is a ranch, 1,800 square feet.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Humphreys.
You're welcome. And let me bring up.
Yep. Yeah. Why don't we go through all three and we can save the questions if there are any.
Yeah, sure. Yep. Just bear with me, though. I'm not good at this. So bear with me here. So I just did that. And I know I'm still in the Zoom, but now my screen's saying Zoom. So I'm going to bring up the next house, which is Suzanne again. What was it again? That was
5 and 18.
18. Let me do 18 now. Hold on one second. So 18, this is going to be the same. Can you guys see that? This coming up? Is this coming up, I hope?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. So this house here is also a ranch in the subdivision. A little different. So this particular house here has a metal roof, has a dormer over the front with a couple of small awning windows here. This particular one here, they wanted to have railings in the front of the house. Again, board and bat, carriage house doors. This house is about the same size, same idea. You'll see it looks pretty much the same on the side elevations, etc. I know the elevations in the back and the rear are sort of boring because it's just regular siding, regular rake boards, and the windows are 4/1. Here you'll see the 12-foot slider with the window above. Same with the side elevation, but again, going back to the front elevation, which is where you see it. So you'll see on the front door here, we create a nice front door. So we have the side lights, and then we go with the oversized front door. Again, see how we do the 4/1 sort of scheme here, carriage house doors, board and bat siding here, roof over the garage doors, boxed rakes here, same idea. So this here is lot 18. All right, so we did 5, 18. No, I'm sorry, we did 6, 18. And Suzanne, what was the next one? I'm sorry.
5.
Mm-hmm. So we did 6, 18. Let me do 5, hold on. Give me 1 second, guys. All right, and this again is a ranch, same style in the subdivision. This has a double dormer in the front. The other one was a single dormer. Double dormer in the front, board and bat in the front. Same doors, carriage house, farmer's porch, 4/1 grills. As you can see here, this house again is about 1,800 square feet. Siding's all the same. It's basically the four-inch clapboard type siding, vinyl. And in the back of the house, 12-foot slider. Sides, if you looked at each three houses, you couldn't even tell the same difference from the sides. It's the front elevations I've done some changes on. So even though these three houses are all ranches, what I did for changes is some, like this one here has double dormers. The other one has a single dormer with two windows. So I changed it up. One of the other windows, front over the garages, I did a smaller awning window just to change it up. They're beautiful house designs. And again, trying to do the farmhouse design. That's what I said I've done from the beginning. And they all complement each other. Black roofs, black metal roofs in the front. It's just very nice look. And obviously, they're selling like wildfire. So people like this design. And that's it, guys.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. Board members, do you have any questions for Mr. Humphreys? Stephanie, do you have any questions? Are all good?
No, I'm all set.
All right. Do we want to make a motion, or do I have to ask for the public, or this is not a public hearing? So no, correct?
Correct.
All right. I'm getting the hang of this.
You're funny.
Does anybody want to make a motion to accept the designs?
Motion to accept the designs for Old Forge Commons, lot 5, 6, and 18.
Zygmunt, second.
All right. Kid?
Aye.
Zygmunt?
Aye.
And Wolf is an aye as well. Thank you very much, Mr. Humphreys.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much. Enjoy your night, and I hope it goes over quick for you. Thank you.
All right. Mickey, thank you very much. Nicely done. Next one, we have another architectural review over at Goodspeed Estates. This is for number 4, but I did see something in our pamphlet about 16. Are we only doing 4, or are we doing 4 and 16?
I think it was just 4, right?
Susan? Just 4?
16 might be the street address.
Yes, I think it is, yes.
Fair enough. It looks like we have Mr. Ekstrom joining us.
Good evening, guys.
All right. If you could just state your name, and the floor is yours.
Sounds good. My name is Ethan Ekstrom. I am a representative for the developer doing Goodspeed Estates. I've built and designed most of the homes in the subdivision. Sorry, I'm having trouble with my camera tonight, but hopefully you guys can hear me all right. So that's a little bit of background. Basically, this is the last lot in the subdivision to be built. The previously approved footprint that went through conservation and the planning department for the architectural review was larger. We found that we may have better luck building a spec home that's a little bit smaller, and so that's what we've designed. This site plan shows a smaller footprint. It's a more simple home, and the garage is flipped to the southerly side. And the architectural design is a little bit simpler as well, and smaller overall, but still in keeping with the neighborhood. All the materials will be similar, and you know, the massing and the look will be similar as well. So that's about it.
All right. Are you able to see what Stephanie's showing on the screen? I mean, do you want to walk us through the design a little bit? And
certainly. So yeah, that's the front elevation there that Stephanie has up. It's basically a two-story New England colonial, two-car garage on the right, carriage house garage doors, PVC front porch columns there, vinyl clapboard siding, architectural roofing shingles, and then the two dormers for the future potential walk-up attic if somebody chooses to finish it. The window grids are the 2/2 style. And like I said, the look is meant to be in keeping with the neighborhood. We are simply just coming before the board to reapprove because we'd like to change the design from what was previously approved.
Well, maybe that's what I did. I see. So that we had already approved. Is that what we had already approved the design on this? Okay, that's why I thought I looked at two different designs.
So you're basically asking
for
that.
A change.
Right.
Okay.
I asked Suzanne to put the original design, which is this one, in the package, just so that the board could see what was previously approved.
Right. So previously it was a ranch, larger footprint. We found that we also had a little bit more space to work with the approved conservation limited work when making the footprint smaller. So we feel that that kind of helps on multiple fronts. And like I said, just making the design smaller, but still in keeping with the look of the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's a simpler design, to be sure. Is the square footage comparable, or is it the same?
It's comparable overall because that original ranch plan didn't have a finished second floor over the main body of the house there, only a bonus room over the garage. So the new square footage of the new proposed design is, I think, somewhere in the 2,100 to 2,200 square foot range, which is also in keeping with the other homes in the neighborhood. They range anywhere from 2,000 square feet up to 2,900 square feet. So this is somewhere, you know, in the middle of that.
Well, is this the only one in that development without the kind of like the farmer's porch concept?
No, the lot number two, which I designed and we built probably 2 years ago now, didn't have a farmer's porch. It just had a front step. There was an open deck, no porch. And I believe that lot six, which is directly opposite from this lot four, which I also designed, that one also has just a front covered portico similar to this, but no farmer's porch there as well.
Okay. Board member or Stephanie, any comments?
No.
Board
no,
members?
I think, with the other buildings that Mr. Ekstrom just described, the other houses and the duplex, which also houses the affordable unit, it's a mix of styles within this development.
Yeah, I agree. Board members, any comments? Okay, I will I will accept a motion.
Motion to approve Goodspeed Estates lot number 4.
Do I have a second? Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none on the motion to accept, Kid?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
Zygmunt?
Aye.
and Stetson's and I as well. All right.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good luck.
Have a nice night. Thanks. Bye.
All right. So this next one, I mean, I guess maybe a brief lead-in is required. I'm sure you guys saw the letter from Mr. Marioni's office. This is an issue that first came up to us, a few months ago when Mr. Lincoln came and expressed some concern, at least at that time, about one home that there was an interest in building out the basement. We kind of came up with a solution there. Looks like this is perhaps a broader issue that Mr. Lincoln and his team would like to propose addressing. I guess that's the lead in. Walter, if you could just state your name and tell us if you have any additional thoughts, and hopefully we can figure something out here.
Excuse me. Happy to. My name is Walter Marioni. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Marioni, Shaughnessy, and Udy. Our addresses are 2 Battery March Park in Quincy, Mass. Representing here this evening, Mr. Rick Lincoln, who I believe you all know, along with his LLC, Sawmill Village LLC. Mr. Lincoln unfortunately had a conflict this evening, so he's attending that other meeting while I attend this meeting. Little bit of background. This board approved back in, I think it was 2022, a 44-unit project at this site. The 44-unit approval was both a definitive subdivision approval and a special permit for a 44, I'm saying unit, it's actually lot, 44-lot compact neighborhood. The issue that the chair references specifically was about an in-law apartment. So as Mr. Lincoln has begun marketing the project, or has marketed the project to date, he's found a lot of interest from buyers, initially for in-laws and then for finished basements. The in-law apartment is not particularly difficult to deal with, given the nuance of the bylaw, because the in-law apartment under the bylaw and the way it's worded is a separate dwelling unit and has its own controls built into the bylaw. So you can construct an in-law apartment within the basement, within the square footage parameters as defined for an in-law. And those parameters are built into the zoning bylaw, and this board has the special permit granting authority for in-laws in certain circumstances. The problem that exists for the finished basement, so a finished basement just for additional usable space, not as an in-law, is unfortunately very different. And again, this is being market driven. There are a lot of buyers. I don't have a number for it. It's hard to quantify, but there's been at least preliminary, a lot of expression of interest in finishing basements. People that have said, hey, if I buy this house, what would it cost me to finish the basement? Or if I buy this house, could I in the future finish a basement? And we looked very hard at the bylaw because you have to look at different sections. We discussed it with Stephanie and with the building inspector. Stephanie discussed it with the building inspector. We didn't discuss it directly with the building inspector. And I think everybody agrees that the bylaw, the way it's written, would prohibit finished basements, not per se, but in these units, in these homes that are designed for this project. So the Eastern Zoning Bylaw, this compact neighborhood overlay district, the Foundry Street Compact Neighborhood Overlay District, and excuse me, because I'm going to read for a minute, but this is set forth in my letter, if you guys have seen my letter. It says, dwelling units are to be detached, single-family dwellings, duplexes, or triplexes. And then a separate sentence, each dwelling unit shall not exceed a maximum of 1,800 square feet of gross floor space. So the homes that are being constructed on this site are consistent with that provision. First of all, they're single family dwellings. They're detached dwellings. Again, there are 44 of them. And they measure approximately 1,800 square feet. There are several models. I believe the board may have already approved the models. I could be wrong about that. But they meet the definition of 1,800 square feet. The second, in order to sort of analyze this, you have to look at what is 1,800 square feet of gross floor space. How do you measure that? So you have to go to the definition section, which is outside of the section dealing with the compact neighborhood overlay district. It literally is in the definition section of the bylaw. It's entitled floor area gross. And it says the sum of the area of the several floors of a building measured from the exterior face of the walls. It does not include cellars. Notice it uses the word cellar, not basement. Unenclosed porches or attics not used for human occupancy or any frontage. I don't know what those last three words mean. I have no idea why they're in the bylaw, but I'm reading it to you exactly as it is. So when you look at that, you say, okay, we have these models here, these sawmill models, and they're approximately 1,800 square feet, each one of them. How is it measured? Well, it was measured on the first floor in the second floor, right? Because that's the area that is not a cellar, which, again, we have basements, not cellars. Very similar, but technically, by Webster definition, they're different. Not unenclosed porches, and it's not attic. So it's the first and second floor. So you've got 1,800 square feet of usable area. If you now want to finish a basement, that's no longer, it does not include cellar, not used for human occupancy, because now it's going to be a basement that is occupied by humans. So you would have to include that area in your square foot calculation, which pushes you dramatically over the 1,800 square feet. In theory, it pushes you up by 50% or to 2,700 square feet. Assuming that the first floor is 900, the second floor is 900, add another 900, mm-hmm. You're 2,700 feet. So you now violate the prohibition in the compact neighborhood overlay district section that says each dwelling unit shall not exceed a maximum of 1,800 square feet. If you stand outside of that house and you have one with a finished basement and one without and one with and one without, nobody ever notices. You can't tell, right? Because it's the footprint of the structure, the look of the structure is exactly the same. And there's no proposal to change that. But you still can't do it under this bylaw. So that's the problem that Mr. Lincoln is having. People want to buy these homes, and many of them are expressing an interest in presently having their finished basement or in the future having a finished basement. And the honest answer to them is you can't do it. So what we would like to do is have the board propose and support a bylaw change that allows people in the scenario that we're describing to finish their basement. Which, as I've set forth in my letter, and I don't want to get into all the detail of my letter unless you ask me to. You know, I think it's probably easier just to have a conversation. But what this does, what this bylaw does, is it puts people, these 44 people that own homes in this subdivision, in a different world than every other single family resident detached dwelling in the entire town of Easton. In other words, there's no other single family dwelling in the town of Easton that is regulated based upon square footage in the zoning bylaw. It doesn't exist in anywhere, at least that I know of, anywhere else in the zoning bylaw. So really all we're asking for is to put these people on the same footing as every other homeowner, number one, and number two, to create an opportunity to finish the basement in a manner that anybody driving by will not notice. The last thing that I would say about it is it wouldn't create the opportunity to have additional bedrooms, because this bylaw specifically states, and I mean by this bylaw, I mean the compact neighborhood overlay district bylaw specifically states that every home in this district is limited to two bedrooms. That was a bylaw amendment that was put in play, I don't know, a year or 18 months after the original bylaw with the square footage, the original bylaw that contained the square footage language was put in place. So it's just, I think it's important to note that someone couldn't finish their basement and add a third bedroom, because that doesn't, that opportunity does not exist. So that's the ask. That's sort of the logic behind it. That's the history of how it came about, how the project was approved, how the request for this has come about. And I guess from there, I'd throw it back to the board and say, you know, love to have a conversation about it. And I'd offer any insight that I can.
Have you guys had any or any feedback or any dialogue at all with the neighborhood group out there, Dal Carrister and his group, on this?
No,
not yet.
Not about this letter. I mean, I've talked to Dale and we've met with the neighborhood group numerous times over the course of time, but I don't recall us ever having a conversation about finishing basements.
No, I'm just curious. I'm just curious because the issue kind of came up.
They don't even know
up.
You can't finish the basement. Right? Well, we didn't know it. We didn't know it until we dove deep into the language.
Well, I mean, we just dealt with it with the, you know, a couple of months ago.
We didn't know about it when the bylaw was drafted and was passed. We never discussed finished basements. It was never something that came up. This has come up through marketing efforts.
Well, it's sort of it's kind of, as you presented, it's a little bit hidden. I mean, it's not intuitive that you wouldn't be allowed to do this. I mean, quite frankly, I appreciate your and Mr. Lincoln's candor on the point. You know, it seems to me like something where I mean, I've been kind of thinking, and I want to open this up to Stephanie and the board, but you know, I can't really rack my head around why it would have been done this way. Other than, you know, much like, you know, I'm looking at the definition of floor area gross, and for the life of me, like Mr. Mirioni, I have no idea what it means when the last three words are, or any frontage. I don't know how you could include frontage in that calculation. I mean, it's just, they're, you know, some of these things, sometimes they slip through the cracks, and you know, it happens, and it takes, you know, a marketing effort like this to figure out that, you know, maybe you need to correct something. That's my gut you know, impression, but I, you know, I welcome everyone's thoughts here.
You know, can I just offer one more comment, that I was on the committee that recodified the zoning bylaw. I don't remember what year we did that, 2015.
Yeah, it was before my time.
Yeah,
when I chaired the Board of Appeals, I served on that committee along with your predecessor, Mr. Chairman, Stephanie's predecessor, the previous building inspector. There was another member of the Zoning Board of Appeals who's currently the chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals. And Mark Bobrowski was retained by the town. And essentially what we were doing was taking the existing zoning bylaw and codifying it in a form that would fit into sort of the section of the zoning bylaw, would fit into what we then had and was known as the Easton Town Code. So all the bylaws for the town. And it started out as just a reformat of that. And we took the definition section and all the bylaws and just literally just rewrote them. And as part of doing that, Mark Bobrowski was tasked with identifying areas of the bylaw that probably should be updated, right? So that we would do it all at the same time without overcomplicating it and bringing something to town meeting that was a completely new bylaw. And that kind of evolved into Mark taking his canned zoning bylaw that he used in other towns. Because Mark does a lot of this, he's hired by a lot of towns to update their bylaw, and taking those sections and sort of replacing some of our sections. And then we would chime in with, well, you know, we, as the chairman of the Board of Appeals, we often see this as a problem. So the bylaw that was codified became a bit of a hodgepodge. But we knew at the time, and we openly discussed it in these meetings, that we were going to have to make many corrections as we then started to use the bylaw, which I think is normal of any zoning bylaw, right? The zoning bylaw is very fluid.
Yep.
And you're constantly updating it, and you're constantly correcting it. You're constantly making changes to meet the world that we live in today versus 5 years ago. So it was a bit of a hodgepodge. There were definitely some typos and other things that were in there that we just couldn't collect and correct. But also that bylaw and that form of the bylaw did not include this, any of the zoning in this whole district, including this overlay district, this compact neighborhood overlay district. So the compact neighborhood overlay district got put in 2018. Initially, the compact neighborhood overlay district was ahead of the zoning for the whole Five Corners corridor. And I'm probably getting into too much detail here, but I think the history explains why these issues exist. So when Rick Lincoln had the opportunity to buy this land, I went and met with this is how long ago it was the prior town administrator. We came up with this concept of we would redo the zoning or do an overlay zoning that would allow for housing to be built there. Didn't know how it was going to happen yet, but we had enough confidence in the fact that David Colton was willing to support it that Rick went ahead and bought the land without any zoning in place. At the time, we were so far ahead of the sewer project that it was thought that this land was going to be developed and built prior to sewer. In fact, at one point, it was going to be built on a common septic system as a condominium project, and then the septic system would be disconnected and it would be connected to sewer when sewer was available. So this is, it's been all over the place. Ultimately, the Five Corners zoning started to catch up, the sewer started to catch up, but it didn't catch up enough. So this district was put in place before the Five Corners zoning was put in place. And then the Five Corners zoning was put in place and it sort of swallowed this district into it. So I'm just not sure that when all these pieces were getting put together that anybody, including myself, I fall on my own sword here, went to look at the definition of gross floor area because it already existed. And it was pulled from a Mark Bobrowski zoning bylaw that was a hodgepodge with the old Ethan zoning bylaw and said, oh boy, we better make sure that this fits in with the 1800 square feet. I guarantee you, I never thought about that. I bet you a buck that nobody else ever thought of it either. And therefore, here we are today. So I think that's just a little bit of probably too much information, but it's a lot of information that, you know, bits and pieces may explain how we get here.
No, I think it's helpful. I mean, because I think if you survey, you know, bylaws, I mean, I'm used to seeing it aside from our own in the floor area ratio context.
Yes.
You know, it's
yeah
50-50 as to whether or not that's going to include basements, whether or not it's going to have some other limitation on basements and things of that nature. But I think your bigger point is accurate, which is that, you know, you can't foresee all these things, and that's the beauty of, you know, the bylaw process, is that it can be fluid and we can make corrections and we can, you know, learn that there are, you know, issues and holes or inconsistencies and you know, unfortunately we try not to be reactive, but that's sort of a necessary byproduct of the process. One other question for you is what's the square footage of these basements typically over there?
Well, I think they are, in terms of the physical basement, I think they are generally or roughly the same size as the first floor or the second floor. So again, in an 1800 square foot home, it differs by model, but as a general statement, a basement would be 900 square feet out of a 1800 square foot home. So you'd have a 900 square foot second floor, a 900 square foot first floor, and then a basement, in this case, an unfinished basement or a cellar, would be 900 square feet. They vary. I mean, they're
yeah, you're probably, down. I guess what I'm getting at is, because you're going to end up, you'll probably have, I'm assuming, some utility space down there that you're going to have to deal. Yeah, and there's
so
probably.
Are you talking about in terms of what a buyer would want?
Well, yeah, I mean, just to kind of put it in context for us, if we're talking about, you know, changing the bylaw to allow for some finished space down there, I mean, in practical terms, you know, what are we looking at?
So we've never explored it, and I talked to Rick about this when Rick told me he wasn't going to be here. I got some information for him.
Well, but what about the in-law one we just looked at, Walter, even a couple of months ago?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
But I know that Rick told me that that generally when he has finished basements in projects similar to this, that you tend not to finish the entirety of the basement, but there are a lot of people that would like to see as much of it as possible that's finished. So you could, in theory, you know, put your electrical panel and you know, maybe your water meter in a very small-sized closet and finish the rest of the basement. You could, you know, because from construction perspective, you could finish a large percentage of the basement. You definitely could. You definitely could. I wouldn't suggest that you... But somebody could elect not to. Someone could say, I only want a family room for my kids to go downstairs and play in. And that's a, you know, that's a 250-square-foot area. It really is buyer specific. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's no chance that someone's not going to look to maximize the area, because they could. They really could.
Any other thoughts here, Stephanie, board members?
Well, I was going to say, when Walter first said, you know, 900 square feet, I think probably most people would not finish out the full basement because they might want their laundry downstairs. That doesn't necessarily need to be in a finished room. And you have your utilities, you have your meters and boiler and whatever down in that area. But you know, I think that most people today, if they have a dry basement, they're interested in finishing it as an extra family room. And as families grow, it provides more space for the family. And not necessarily in bedrooms, but just in living space.
Yep. What do we think? Do we have any other questions, thoughts?
It seems to me, if I may, I think, so looking through the language of the compact overlay district, affordability didn't factor into any of the goals of that bylaw. I think a lot of the discussion we're having here probably relates more to an affordability perspective and kind of issue than anything else. So the purpose of that bylaw was not to try and address that issue. It was to look at, I think from, you know, my reading, quick reading of it, it was more about walkability and making it, you know, smaller scale physically so that you preserve more open space and such. So I think that as long as it's within the same footprint of, you know, what was originally proposed, it doesn't seem like a problem that people do finish basements for whatever purpose. I think the bedroom issue always gets tricky because you can't really stop somebody from then using that room as a bedroom or not. And whether or not gets sold with a basement bedroom in future is kind of, who knows. But as long as it's within the same footprint, I kind of feel like it's really only fair for them to be able to do with the best basement as they want, given the intention of the overlay language to begin with. If affordability had been built into the language of that bylaw, then I think this would be, I'd have a different opinion on that. I think finishing a basement would obviously increase the value of a home, and that would make it potentially less affordable in the future. But given that language, I don't think is in there really as a purpose. I think it's only fair for people to be able to finish those basements.
So Bob, if I could just add something to that, I actually worked on and wrote with help from Walter and the prior chair, the Compact Neighborhood Overlay District. And I do believe it was the 1800 square foot limitation was related to the massing and not to limiting the living space other than the two bedroom restriction.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like if it was intentionally done this way, that it would have been a little bit more overt. I mean, that's just, you know, that's typically the way that things are done. If there's something that's front of mind or top of mind, you kind of put it in there in a way that's just a little bit more straightforward. That's helpful. I mean, I appreciate Joanne's perspective on that and in the background and history that I've heard here tonight. I mean, do we have Mickey, Kathy, do you guys have any thoughts or questions?
I'm mostly just listening and understanding as I wasn't on the board at that time. So just trying to get a good grasp of it. But I agree on the affordability piece that Joanne brought up. It had not seeing it written in there. I don't see why it would not be fair.
Yeah, you know, just on the affordable component part of it, this project in this bylaw was never intended to address capital A affordable housing, like what we do with MBTA zoning and 40B and those things. Interestingly, the initial version of this project, or the initial idea of this project, when we first met with David Colton, the state, what was then DHCD, was talking about doing something similar to 40R with, I forget what you call it, but it was workforce housing. And Mr. Lincoln was willing to explore the idea of a capital A affordable housing project, like what you, were wondering whether or not this project was going to or intended to address that. And the problem was that, and we actually met with DHCD over this, the problem was they just couldn't get their act together fast enough to pass something that would work. And I think Stephanie was probably on board when we first started talking about that. I think Stephanie had come back to town. And
Wayne and I had conversations with Bill Real, I think it is his name was. Yep.
So this project could have been that kind of project. It just didn't end up there.
Yeah.
One of the things that we thought about in those early conversations after we get past the fact that we couldn't do an affordable with a capital A project was the fact that in terms of new construction, even though the starting price of a home is a little less than $800,000 in this project, for a new construction subdivision, that is quote unquote affordable. In this day and age, in this market with construction costs what they are, in a town like Easton, that is, again, not affordable capital A, but affordable with a small A. You're not going to find a new construction project around here in the town of Easton where you can buy a new construction home for under $800,000. The market is just crazy. It's just gone crazy.
Well, and I think the bigger point that I happen to agree with is that I think what Joanne is saying is that, you know, there wasn't any intentionality here, like to leave the basements out. And I think that's, you know, worth, because I mean, the reality is if anybody had discussed the issue, it would have been addressed a long time ago, I'm sure. And so, you know, we are where we are. So, I mean, Kathy, we haven't heard from you. I welcome your thoughts as well.
I just was curious because there's two suggested wordings in the letter, and they're quite different. And if we were to talk about supporting this amendment, which one do you want to move? Which one is the one you want to move forward with? And so that's one question. And then the second question: if we were to support this, does this have to go then to town meeting to be voted on?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. So it would be a fall town meeting.
All right. I think it's a good.
That's a really good point. I mean, I but Stephanie, we don't. So I mean, we'd have to go through the whole process of
the hearing process and
right.
Yeah, I mean, I
and we
I,
could send it out with both options and get feedback, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have, I would suggest the board have some discussion around the two options, which I don't think we, the board necessarily needs to do tonight. I think
right.
What Walters and Rick Lincoln are looking for is just, is the board amenable to a change that would allow finished basements? I read through these and, you know, I like to give it more thought because as Walter points out, zoning changes and bylaws tend to be fluid and you find things after that you didn't intend to. So I like to spend a little more time trying to make sure that there aren't some unintended consequences when you're making the change.
Well, I tend to, just in terms of my own two cents, I tend to think that, you know, smaller incremental changes are the best. And I kind of think the first one is that it's addressing a specific issue. But I agree with you, Stephanie, that, you know, maybe we need to think about this a little bit. So if I'm hearing correctly, and, you know, please feel anyone chime in. I mean, it sounds like we're supportive of the concept and, you know, we should start to bring this to the next step, which would be, you know, discussing the language and then, you know, sending it out for public hearing and comment.
Pardon me, I have fire alarms going off. I'm going to be back.
Yeah.
I think we had she gave us some positive feedback. I mean, Kathy, Joanne, are we feeling comfortable moving this forward?
I think so too. I think more time to, yes. You know, get into the nuts and bolts of it and stuff is good. So I think we can move in that direction from my point of view, I think.
All right. And Mickey, now that you're back from hopefully false alarm.
They've been going off all day. I have no idea why, just randomly. Traumatizing the dog for sure.
Okay. Well, Walter, I think you've got a receptive board here. Thank you for your presentation. So Stephanie, next up would be, I mean, we obviously, unfortunately for Mr. Lincoln, we have time. We aren't going to be able to get this on for the next town meeting.
Right.
So what are we looking at for like a rough time frame, or can we figure that out before the next meeting and, you know, get Walter?
Oh, we can figure that out. I mean, we have plenty of time before fall town meeting. So
right.
My suggestion would be let's get through this town meeting and then work on it. Then that will give us plenty of time to work on it and have it ready. And it's unusual when we have zoning ready that first. And I think there is I always have to look at the regulation, the act, the number of days before town meeting, whether it's a minimum or a maximum of days.
Well, I mean, it sounds like we've got time. So, you know, maybe before the next meeting, we can kind of start to put together the rudiments for a timetable here and go from there. All right. Mr. Marioni, thank you very much for your presentation. And you found a receptive board. You were very persuasive. So have a good night.
Thank you. You guys have a good night as well.
All right. Next on the agenda is, this is Owl Ridge Estates. This is the release of the lots. Stephanie, can you maybe, or do we have anyone here presenting on this?
I don't see anybody. We have someone in the audience, but I don't recognize them as being here for this, and I wouldn't expect it. This is a cleanup. Generally, when we do accept surety on a project, performance surety, the purpose for doing that is so that the lots can be released and the town has something, a type of bond in hand that if the road weren't to be completed, that money could be pulled to complete the road. You don't release the lots until either the road is fully complete or you have the surety. In this instance, we overlooked that we needed to get the board to vote to release the lot. So this is a formality asking the board to release the lots for Owl Ridge.
All right, I will accept a motion.
So moved. Sorry.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Great. Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none on the motion to release lots 1 through 6. Kid?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
Zygmunt?
Aye.
And Stetson's an aye as well. Okay. Did everybody got a chance to take a look at the hybrid? Did everyone receive the hybrid dates?
It was in the binder.
Okay, good. I'd seen them before, but I thought they looked pretty good. You know, we're trying to do one a month just to at least have the option, and it's going to be hybrid. So, you know, if board members need to attend remotely, that's totally fine. And do we have anyone have any comments or questions there? Okay. Then on to the meeting minutes. I looked at them. I thought they looked fine. Anyone else have any feedback?
As someone who was not there, they were very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. I will accept a motion.
Motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Zygmunt, second.
Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none. Kid?
Aye.
Wolf?
Aye.
Zygmunt?
Aye.
Stetson's an aye as well. On the chair report, I mean, Stephanie, it's still, we're gearing up for town meeting. That's still number one priority here. What do we have left? And thank you to all of my fellow board members for all your hard work and participation. Especially, I know you guys have been helping out, in the extracurricular events that we've had going on and had planned, and have done a spectacular job. Stephanie, what do we have left for those events?
So we're scheduling 2 open houses. One will be at the Quesa House. One will be at the Frothingham Hall Council on Aging. Those were suggested as places where, one, a lot of people will gather, and two, a place people like to go to. I'll have those dates before the end of the week, and I'll get those out to folks. We're planning those to occur between 4 and 6 o'clock. It'll be a drop by. If board members are available to participate, we certainly will welcome you. We're not expecting a big turnout, but we definitely want to give an opportunity. Bob wasn't able to attend with me, a presentation to the finance committee last week. And that was so they could vote to recommend. That was a very positive experience. They were very positive on the presentation and in the zoning. We had done a presentation to the finance committee probably in February, and they did vote to recommend. So we have that behind us. And then Bob and I are going to be doing dry runs on the presentation before a hopefully friendly audience, but to critique and make sure that we're on point with the message.
So, well, it feels like ancient history, but the same night that Kathy had her interview, you and I also presented to the select board, and we also had a very positive reception from them, as well as the town administrator. So, it's a full court press. We're trying to get the word out. And Stephanie, if you could send those, the dates for the 2 open houses, I'll do my best to attend at least one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously I welcome my fellow board members as well.
Yeah. And how did it go, Kathy? And, or was it Joanne and Mickey?
Kathy and Joanne.
How'd it go?
Yeah. It was pretty good. Kathy started the first part of it, manning the board. I'll let her talk about. She seemed to get a little bit of traction afterwards, basically, just as I came on and swapped with Kathy, there was a lot of live entertainment happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything kind of died down after that. I did try and move our board to actually the foyer to try and catch people as they were kind of leaving.
Yep.
But nobody even looked at the board. They just kind of left. So yes. I left a little bit early before the formal conclusion of the event as well, too. But yes. Kathy, I think Kathy had some good talks.
Yep, I got to have multiple conversations with the folks. One couple, you know, were already very in tune with what was going on. They're from the, I can't remember what they call that group that Dale leads.
Oh, the Furness Village Neighborhood Collaborative. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So they were very in tune, and you know, we're happy with what the final plan was that we voted on, and we'll be taking to town meeting. And then I talked to some other folks that weren't had heard of it, but weren't really aware, and were happy to learn more.
Oh, so, good.
And I talked to some folks from Stoughton who, you know, they're going through the same process there as well.
Yeah.
So, good.
Stephanie, did they have the cards to hand out?
They did. Yes.
Oh, good. Yep. Good.
Yep. And then we
definitely
have
got handed out a lot more than the flyers.
Pardon?
Definitely handed out a lot more of those than the flyers.
I sent the flyers with you because we already printed them, but I had not printed any more because we found the same thing. People really wanted the business cards, and I think they work well. And then on May 4th, we have the NRT. So mm-hmm. I will be there. I will be there to set up in the morning. And again, I have it written down. I think Mickey and Kathy
and Joanne. Yeah,
I can help as well.
Yeah, that's great. And then I will probably, I think it's 4 hours in total, and swap off, and Wayne's going to come and relieve me, and he'll clean up. So.
Wonderful. Well, everyone, thank you all for your time and efforts. And I think if there's nothing else, I will accept a motion.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
All right. On the motion to adjourn, Kid.
Aye.
Wolf.
Aye.
Zygmunt.
Aye.
And Stetson's an aye as well. Thank you all. Thank you, Stephanie. And welcome. Thank you, Easton. Everyone, have a nice night.